Good morning, everyone. Make a wee start just to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 141 in our own hymn books, the first hymn just in our order of service, a great hymn about Christ, exalting Christ and what he is to his people. It says, "Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son, hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule in equity." 141, we'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise, and singing it out with all of our heart to the glory of the Lord. 141, standing to sing as the organist leads us in our praise. Unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord this morning, praying that we'll know God's help and blessing in our time of worship together. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee, O God, this day for Thy goodness and Thy mercy that finds us here in the house of the Lord to praise Thee and to worship Thee. Father, we come before Thee in no merit of our own. Realize each one of us have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. We realize, O God, that all our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of Thee, the holy God of heaven. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today for Christ. Lord, we thank Thee for Him who loved us, Him who is the Son of Righteousness, the One who became our substitute, who died for us upon the cross of Calvary, and bled and died and gave up the ghost and poured out His life unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, today for Christ, our kinsman, Redeemer. We thank Thee, O God, for the perfect life of Christ, that He did no sin, that He knew no sin, that He was without sin. And Father, we thank Thee for the precious blood that He shed. And we thank Thee, O God, for the blood of Christ today that cleanseth us from all sin. And O God, we come before Thee this morning, pleading no merit of our own, but pleading only, O God, as our acceptance before Thee, the blood and the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank Thee today that we are accepted in Thy holy presence through the beloved Son of God, Christ. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Christ died. We thank Thee that He went through this scene of time. And we thank Thee, O God, that He went willingly to the cross. And that we thank Thee that though He died, we praise Thee that He rose again victorious, that He is alive forevermore. And we thank Thee, O God, that He is the One that reigns today in heaven at Thy right hand, O God, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that His kingdom knows no end. We thank Thee that the love of Christ toward His people, the time can never change. And Father, we thank Thee that in heaven He prays for His people. We thank Thee, O God, that He is One who is succor to the poor and needy. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ today is our all in all. He is indeed that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And, O Father, as we come before Thee today, we pray that Thou wilt bless our gathering today in Thy house. We thank Thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. We thank Thee for every boy and girl and young person who gathered in under the sound of Thy word. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless them, bless our children and our young people. Early in life, may they come to know and trust the Lord as Savior. And may they not only be saved, but grow up to follow the Lord and to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord in their day and generation. Bless all our teachers involved in this work, we pray. May they know the help, the wisdom, and the blessing of God, and encourage them much in this work, we pray. We thank Thee for all who have been able to gather here today, for every household and family represented. Lord, Thou dost know the needs of all our hearts and lives and souls today. Now do bless every believer in Christ in this meeting. Lord, strengthen and encourage Thy people. Build Thy people up in their most holy faith. O God, we do pray of Thee. For those going through times of testing and trial, we pray that they will know much of the richness of Thy grace and Thy strength being their portion day by day. Others needing guidance and direction, lead them and guide them in the paths of righteousness, we ask of Thee. And Lord, for any may be cold at heart, Lord, turn their hearts afresh out after Thee today. And may they know that restoring a touch that comes from the Lord. And for any with us today, and they're not saved, Lord, speak to them today, Lord. Arrest them, we ask of Thee. And Lord, show them their need of Christ. Show them their need of salvation. Oh God, we pray, and bring them savingly and believingly, even this very day, unto the Lord for salvation. Do bless all our families and our households. Meet the need of all our homes and our families at this time. And do unite all our family circles in the Lord. O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that in each of our homes, day by day, that there'd be that very gracious, conscious sense
of the presence and of the nearness of the Lord. Remember all those listening in online today as well, whoever they might be, wherever they might be. We pray that they will know the blessing of the Lord to be their portion. We pray for those today that cannot be with us because of age and sickness and infirmity, those that are led aside in residential care and in hospital. Do draw near to them, we pray. And Lord, strengthen them by the mighty hand of the Lord and encourage them and bless them richly, we pray. And for others who mourn and grieve, Lord, have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, strengthen them, uphold them by the power and by the grace of God divine, and be their helper and be their refuge in their time of need, we ask. And again, Lord, bless every outreach from this congregation. Remember the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. May thy hand of blessing be upon this and upon all the children's meetings and the outreach amongst the children of the area. Remember the door-to-door outreach. Remember also the gospel booklet that is around the homes in Fermanagh. Remember also, Lord, the radio broadcasts and the online ministry, we pray. We pray that in each of these things that the name of the Lord will be honored and glorified, and that hearts will be blessed and reached through the word of the Lord. Remember our land today. We pray that thou wilt have mercy, Lord, upon it. We pray, Lord, for seasons of revival and refreshing and reformation from our God, we pray on high. Turn the hearts of many to the Lord, we ask. Again, Lord, we pray for those that rule in our land, that they might rule in righteousness, Lord, in accordance with thy word and in accordance with thy truth. Do, Lord, bring to naught the plans, the schemes of evil and ungodly men. Have mercy also, Lord, upon our royal family. We pray that the light of thy truth and the gospel will prevail in that household, we pray, and there might be that turning there unto thee and to thy word and truth, we pray. Again, Lord, we're mindful of our missionaries today, those that labor here at home. May your hand of blessing be upon each and every one of them. Bless them and use them and encourage them and give them fruit for their labor. We pray for those that labor in foreign mission fields as well, maybe far from home and family at this time, we pray. Now bless them, watch over them and protect them and encourage them greatly in the Lord. Again, Lord, remember the students of the Whitfield College of the Bible. We thank thee for this ministry. Bless our students there. Lead them and guide them. Help them at this time of exam, we pray. Give them wisdom. And in thy will, Lord, send them forth and open up doors of opportunity for them to serve thee, be it at home and be it further afield, we pray. Father, we just look to thee now to bless us around thy word. Bless us in the praising of thy name and in the ministry of thy word. Take full control of our hearts and grant, O God, that the thoughts of our hearts and the words, O God, of our lips, that they would be acceptable, Lord, in thy sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, help us to worship thee today and the beauty of holiness, we pray. And close us, Lord, in with thyself and take away all that is not of thee and center our hearts and our minds upon the Lord. Thou who art the great I Am, Lord, thou who art eternal, unchangeable, thou art the God of mercy, the God of salvation. Take our eyes off ourselves, we pray. And Lord, may we be ever found looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do us good now, we pray. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Let the word of the Lord have free course. And close out the devil, close out the world, and bring glory and honor unto Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen. Now we're going to turn, please, in God's word, just to the book of the Psalms, just to read together Psalm number 29. We're turning in the God's word to the book of the Psalms, reading Psalm number 29. Here we have an exhortation from the psalmist to glorify the Lord in light of his protection and power in the lives of his people. Psalm 29, and the verse number 1 says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, and give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siren like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. And the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. And at the end of that psalm, there's a wonderful promise there to every believer. In this meeting this morning, the promise is there of the Lord's strength and the Lord's peace. And that's a promise you and I can plead and pray about in every time of need and every circumstance of difficulty. We'll turn again in our hymn sheet to our second hymn of praise this morning. It's 307 in our own hymn books, a great hymn of testimony. The hymn writer says, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me have been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. And that hymn reminds us of a great truth when we think of Christ and all that the Lord has done for us in salvation. Each and every one of us must say with the hymn writer here, unworthy as I am. We're unworthy of the very least of God's mercies. Yet God has been gracious to us even in salvation. We'll stand again as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise, and singing it unto the Lord's honor and glory. 307, standing as we sing.
Yeah.
At this stage of our meeting this morning, I'd like to welcome you all in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here today. We bid you a very special welcome. And if you're visiting with us, we trust that you'll feel at home. You know the rich blessing of the Lord as you gather with us. It's always a delight to visitors to share in our fellowship. And if you're a believer today, may you be strengthened in the ways of God. And if you're here today and you're not saved, not yet converted, our prayer and our burden is today that even this very day you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I also welcome those that are viewing online, whoever you are, wherever you might be today. We pray that you too will know the blessing of the Lord through His Word to your heart and to your soul. Now, the announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Do remember, please, the gospel meeting tonight here in our church. It's a family and friend service, so do make that special effort to come along and to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. There's still some wee invocation cards there out on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those. Our brother, Mr. Andrew Dobbin, an elder from Omer Church, will be along to testify of God's saving grace. Andrew was brought up in a Protestant home in North Antrim, and he had two great interests when he was young. One was religion and politics, and these interests were to lead him on a different path. And as he looks back at his life, he now sees that he's been redeemed and released and required. So if you want to hear more, how the Lord has saved our brother, what the Lord has done for him, do come along, bring others with you. And then our sister, Mrs. Grace McClintock, as well, will be along to sing for us in the gospel. So remember that meeting. I do apologize, I cannot be here tonight. Just we have a family dedication service tonight with one of our grandchildren, and we have to be at that. But we trust the Lord will bless you and bless our brother as he testifies. He'll be leading the service also this evening. And then on Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m., is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Do remember that and do plan to join with us for the season of prayer and Bible study. It will be the box opening for the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. And our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore, will give a report and an update on the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. So do come along, encourage your sister, and keep up to date with what's happening there. We thank the Lord for the doors that have reopened and the children that have been coming out week by week to hear the Word of God. And we pray that early in life they'll come to know the Lord for salvation. Friday night, 6:30, is the Bethel Children's Meeting. We commend that to all the boys and girls. Trust as many as possible will gather. And then 8 o'clock is the Youth Fellowship Meeting. That's open to all young people from P7 and upward. We commend that to all the young people. Again, trust as many as possible will gather. And also bring your friends with you as well for that time of fellowship. And next Lord's Day, the 5th of December, Sabbath school and Bible class at 11 a.m., a morning worship service, 12 noon, and the evening gospel service at 7. And in the will of the Lord, I belong to take those services next Lord's Day. Please also note that from next Lord's Day, that's the 5th of December, the prayer meetings before the Sunday services, the Lord's Day services, will be recommencing. The morning prayer meeting will be at 11:30 a.m., and the evening prayer meeting will be at 6:30 p.m. And the venue will be in the prayer room there at the side, and there will be available seating, and that will be spaced according to current guidelines. And then when those seats are taken up, that will be the capacity just for the prayer room. But the session would certainly encourage as many as possible to gather for prayer. It's vitally important to seek the Lord for His help and blessing in the ministry of God's Word. So do remember that. The prayer meeting's recommencing before the services next Lord's Day, Sunday morning, 11:30, and then the evening prayer meeting at 6:30 p.m. Also do please pray for the gospel booklet distribution to every home in Fermanagh. We've had some very favorable responses from people, strangers, regarding that, and we thank the Lord for it going out. And just pray that the Lord will bless the printed page to the saving of souls and the blessing of people. And the offering for the poppy appeal and the Let the Bible Speak during the Remembrance Night service came to £569, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Tomorrow night, that's the 29th of November, at 8 p.m. in our Guildford Church, there's a prayer meeting, an open prayer meeting for the work of Consider Christ Outreach, and anyone is welcome to attend that. That's tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. There are also some free Way of Life calendars out there on the table in the port, so e-farming calendar, those are free. Do take them and do give them out to friends and family. And then also just from January 2022, that's the beginning of the new year, there is a need for a church cleaner or caretaker, as was mentioned some time ago. And this is really ideal for a couple or someone single or maybe two ladies or whatever to work together. And if anyone feels that they can serve the Lord in this way, would you please contact our clerk of session, Mr. Ian Muir, or myself as soon as possible. But do remember that and do give it prayerful consideration. And if there's someone here or others that can help in this respect, in this labor for the Lord's house, do speak to our brother Ian or myself as soon as possible regarding that matter. And then do please also pray for Sister Mrs. Doreen McMaster, Mr. Harry Walker in hospital at this time. And then as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy as well to our brother Mr. Keith Ferguson, Muriel and family, to Mrs. Diana Gott and husband George and family on the passing of their cousin this past week, and ensure that family and family circle offer prayers and sympathies at this particular time. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn sheet to our final hymn of praise this morning. It's 165 in our own hymn book. It's really a prayer. It says, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do." We'll stand again as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise, please. To turn again in God's Word for our second Bible reading this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and we're going to read just from verse number 8 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 21. You find the book of Ephesians in the middle part of the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And we're reading from Ephesians chapter 5, breaking into the chapter at the verse number 8, and going down just to the end of verse number 21. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Ephesians 5, verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 21. Our prayer is the Lord will bless this reading of his eternal word to all our hearts. Let us unite, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in our gathering today. We're mindful especially of those that mourn today. Remember the Ferguson and Gott family and that wider family circle at this time. Give comfort there. And for any in that family circle who know not the Lord, do speak even through the passing away of this loved one. And see if we beseech of thee, we pray. Again, Lord, we just pray now as we turn to thy word to consider it. Lord, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, speak to saint and to sinner alike in this meeting house today. Bless the saints of God. We pray that an alarm bell would sound in the hearts of those that are unsaved. And Lord, today may they come in saving faith and saving trust, to trust in Christ alone for salvation. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. And be unto us all that we would need, Lord. We pray for that infilling of the Spirit of God from on high to proclaim thy word. As thus and thus saith the Lord, we pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, our text of Scripture that we want to consider today in our meeting is that final statement of verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter number 5. Where it says, but be filled with the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, over in the book of James, James there writing to God's people, he says these words. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that verse really means how God's people are to practice, if you like, live out the teaching of the Word of God and the lessons of God's Word in their life day by day. Now, if the truth of God's Word is to be lived out in the witness of God's people in their life day by day, then the words of our text here in the final part of verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5 must also be a reality in the life of the believer and the child of God. In the latter part of this particular book of Ephesians, Paul here is dealing with practical Christianity, practical Christian living. And my, if the Ephesian believers were to honor the Lord, then they must be a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And my, the same also applies to you and I who are saved by the grace of God in this gathering today. You'll notice there at the beginning of verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter 5, how the Apostle Paul, he sets a prohibition before God's people. For he says there, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And that really shows us there how God's people are to have nothing to do with drunkenness whatsoever. In the book of Proverbs, it says, woe to them that tarry long at the wine. Again, in the book of Habakkuk, it says there that woe unto him that giveth his neighbor a drink. And following on from this prohibition, indeed then by way of contrast, Paul sets before these believers these words of exhortation in our text today at the end of verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5.
when he says, but be filled with the Spirit. And my, the experience of these words was vital. If their testimony in Ephesus in the day of the Apostle Paul was to be one that would redound to the honor and to the glory of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren and sisters in Christ in this gathering, let me say to you today, each one, that being filled, yes, with the Holy Spirit, it's really the key to every believer exalting the Savior and living for the Lord's honor and glory in their life day by day, in their home situation, in their workplace, and in God's work, indeed, in all the ups and downs and the battles and the trials of life. It is by being filled with the Spirit of God that you and I can live to God's honor and God's glory. As we then would consider this vital matter of being filled with the Spirit, there are four things I just want to set before you very plainly and simply this morning. Notice, first of all, hear with me the meaning of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. Our text says, but be filled with the Spirit. And that word filled there really means to fill up, if you like, to make full. And my, if the Christian is to be filled with the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit of God must pervade every part of his being. In other words, the Holy Spirit must control the believer's purposes in life, the affections of the believer in life, their thoughts, their desires, their words, their deeds in life day by day. A believer, yes, this is what it means for you and I to be filled with the Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God must be in control of all of our life and every department and detail of our life. And can I say the Word of God makes it very clear that such a blessing is possible and can be a reality in the lives of God's people, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found. Read of the early New Testament church, and this was their testimony. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, they were all filled, it says, with the Spirit. This was the portion there of the men and women and young people of that early New Testament church shortly after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you'll notice there that our text is in the present tense. It says, be filled with the Spirit. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to be a continuous experience, not a one-off experience, but a continuous experience and reality in the life of the Christian. You see, yesterday's infilling does not suffice for the present or for today. Now, you think of a glass being continually filled with water from a tap or a fountain. Well, on a daily basis, you and I who are saved are to be filled with the Spirit of God. This is God's will for our lives. Now, this infilling is not a one-off experience. It is to be a constant experience as believers in Christ here on earth. And time after time, we read of God's people in the early church being filled with the Spirit. Turn with me back to the book of the Acts, Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. And here you just have two examples. There's many more we could take you to. But here you read of Peter. And remember, this was Peter who earlier denied the Lord, denied that he knew him, denied the Lord with oaths and curses, but he has known the restoring touch of God upon his life. Remember, he was afraid of a little girl to own Christ before a little damsel girl. But here he is, and he's witnessing before the Jewish leaders who hated the gospel, who hated Christ. And look at what it says about him in verse 8 of Acts chapter 4. It says, then Peter, it says, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And he goes on to speak to them of Christ. And he mentions that great gospel verse in particular in verse 12. When he says of Christ, neither is there salvation and any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And there you read of Peter being filled with the Spirit. This just wasn't the portion of Peter and the apostles. It was the portion of the rank and file of that early church, whoever they were. Look again at what you read in verse 31 of the same chapter. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, men and women and young people, members of that church, whoever they were, it says there, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Brethren and sisters in Christ, until we enter into heaven, enter into glory itself, each day you and I are to seek the infilling of the Spirit of the living God. Daily, yes, we need the burden of the hymn writer who said, breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Promise of the Father given. Send us now. Ah, Pentecost, that was the burden of the hymn writer. Know that would be our burden day by day as the people of God. Yes, the meaning here of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. But notice, secondly here, notice that the duty of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. Our text says, but be filled with the Spirit. And those words are really in the form of a command. And if the Ephesians were to live for God's honor and glory, then it was an imperative, then it was a necessity that they be filled with the Spirit of God. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 49, there we have a similar command. There you have Christ's command to the disciples to pray for the infilling of the Spirit when he says, tarry ye, he says, until ye be endued with power from on high. He says, tarry you. That was his command to his people. Again in Acts 1 verse 4, before he is taken up to heaven, you have a similar command where it says, but wait, it says, for the promise of the Father. By there, the Lord commands and he shows us that as Christians we are to seek after the infilling of the Spirit of God. Yes, the message of our text is a message not to be discarded. When we think of what is said here in our text, it's not for us to say, oh, that's just for the evangelist or the preacher or the missionary or the elder or the deacon or for the apostles of a bygone day. No, this is something that is the redeemed portion of every a child of God to experience and live out in their lives day by day as the people of God. You think about D.L. Moody, that evangelist, famous evangelist of a bygone day. He was a man who had very little by way of the world's education and was really disdained by many in his days, but he was a man set apart by God, a man who knew the anointing and the infilling of God upon his life and ministry, and God used him powerfully to bring souls to Christ. But he said these words on one occasion. He says that God commands us to be filled with the Spirit of God. He knew that was a command from God, and he sought after God for that infilling in his life as a believer day by day. And just as that was a command for the early church and the apostles, it's a command for you and I today as God's people. And when we think of the commandments of God, John tells us that his commandments are not grievous. Believer, every commandment is for our good, for our benefit, for our blessing. And indeed, the Lord says in his word, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the proof of our love for Christ is to heed the very commandments of the Lord to our soul. Yes, we see the meaning here of being filled with the Spirit, the duty. But notice thirdly, the outcome of the Christian being filled with the Spirit. Turn with me back to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, and look at what you read there in verse number 22 and verse number 23 of that chapter. Galatians chapter 5, just back a little bit from our Bible reading. It's just back to the next book before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22 and verse number 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Notice there carefully what it says. It says, the fruit of the Spirit. This is the outworking. This is the effect, the outcome of the Spirit of God in the lives of God's people. What are we being told there by the Scriptures? It is this, dear people, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, then our lives will be marked as Christians by the love of God. It says the fruit of the Spirit, there is love. And that means, yes, love for God, love for His people. love for His Word, love for His work, love for lost, perishing sinners. Indeed, Paul in another part of the Scriptures could say the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. The mention there also is made of joy. And it's very interesting to note that in the Psalms that the Holy Spirit there is described as the oil of gladness. In Psalm 45, verse 7, the psalmist says, God have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And that speaks of joy. It speaks of rejoicing. The Bible speaks to you and I about the early disciples in the early New Testament church. They were persecuted. They were going through times of great testing and great trial. But this is what it says about them. It says, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They were rejoicing, even though they were being persecuted and mocked and beaten and scourged. There was a joy deep down in their heart and soul. And what was the answer, the reason for that joy? It was because they were filled with the Spirit of God, the joy even in the day of trial, the day of adversity. And brethren and sisters in Christ, there are none of us as Christians who can escape trials. There are none of us who can escape adversity or burdens. Indeed, we live in an ungodly day. And as this world comes to an end, the reproach of the Christian for Christ will be greater and greater from the spirit of Antichrist, and that will come our way. The Lord has warned us about that in the Scriptures. But people, in the midst of all the adversities and the trials and the battles and indeed the persecutions in life for being a Christian, you and I can joy in the Lord, not in our own strength, but through the ministry to the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives day by day. Then there's a mention there also of peace, and that means us knowing the peace of God that passeth all understanding, ruling and reigning in our hearts. It also means living in peace and harmony with others. Mention is made there also of long-suffering. That speaks of us being patient in trial in times of testing. A mention is also made there in Galatians 5, verse 22 of gentleness. That speaks of our lives being marked by kindness, the kindness of the Lord. It speaks there of goodness. That really speaks of us doing good unto others in our lives day by day. And you remember how Barnabas is described in the New Testament book of Acts, the son of consolation. This is what the Bible says about him. It says, Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. He left behind a good testimony even to others because of the Spirit of God working and reigning in his life. Also there it talks about faith. That speaks of faithfulness. It speaks of fidelity in our lives as Christians day by day. Faithful to our word. Faithful to God's work. Faithful in the home, in the family, in our places of employment. Living faithfully, steadfastly for God day by day. And again, that was the mark of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Turn with me in your Bible back to the book of the Acts, Acts chapter number 7. And here you have Stephen. He's been stoned to death for his faith in Christ, coming to the end of his life's journey. But see his fidelity here to Christ and the gospel and to the things of God. Go down to Acts chapter 7 and the verse number 55. Look at what it says there about Stephen. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And verse 59 says, and he stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said thus, he fell asleep. But notice he was faithful to the end. Why? You have the answer there in verse 55. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Again, you go back there to Galatians chapter number 5. You'll see there that mention also is made there of meekness. What does that mean? That means humility. It means patience. It means us yielding, being submissive to the will of God, being submissive to the ways of God, and indeed the providences of God for our life. And then also mention is made there at the end of self, of temperance, and that really speaks of self-control.
It says there in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. That speaks of self-control, controlling self. And you know, that's the complete opposite of a drunk person. You turn back to our text again, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. It says there, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. A drunk person has no control whatsoever over their faculties, over the being. And I'm sure you've often seen that in society. In fact, that word excess there in verse 18 of Ephesians 5 literally means lawlessness. It means riotous behavior, and that's the outworking of drunkenness. But my, it's the complete opposite for the Christian who is controlled by the Spirit of God. There is temperance. There is a self-control in their life, even in times of testing and times of trial. Look again at what you read there. It says, be not drunk with wine or in its excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Indeed, it was John Owen who said, the Holy Spirit is the great beautifier of the soul. He beautifies the soul of the Christian. He beautifies the life of the Christian. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 there in verse number 9. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then there are other things worked out in the life of the Christian who is filled with the Spirit. And you see that from Ephesians chapter 5. You see there that there's thanksgiving. Look at verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also there is a help and a power in prayer. Go down to Ephesians 6 verse 18. We looked at this verse some time ago, but it all ties in to what Paul is saying in our text today in Ephesians 5 verse 18, when he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice it, in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. You see, the infilling of the Spirit of God helps us in prayer. Indeed, it helps us to get to the prayer meeting. Helps us to get to the place of prayer. The Holy Spirit helps the people of God to pray. Turn back to Acts chapter 1 and the verse number 8. We see another fruit in the life of the Christian. It is the fruit of service, power to serve the Lord. And look at what the Lord said here before he went up into heaven. Acts chapter 1 and the verse number 8. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. And remember, the Jews in Jerusalem hated Christ. This is where the Christians were to start witnessing, in Jerusalem. Then it says, in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Where was the strength of the disciples to witness? It was not in themselves. It was not in the organizations of men or the ingenuities of men. No. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And Christian, it's through the Holy Spirit that you and I can serve the Lord. Whatever it is, Sunday school work, children's work, youth work, giving out a gospel tract, seeking to witness in your home, in your workplace, in your community. We need the power of the Spirit of God to bear witness for Christ. And through His help, through His power, we can witness. We can speak a word for the Lord. We can be enabled to stand up for the Lord. It was John Wesley who said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing but add sin to sin. You know, he was right. Years ago, there were two men, and they were once viewing the great Niagara Falls over in Canada. And what a sight that is to behold when you see those thousands and thousands of gallons going over that precipice down below. And as they viewed the Niagara Falls, one said, this water is the greatest unused power in the world. And the other replied to his friend, he said, not so. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. And you know, he was right. And my, that's where our power is, not in ourselves. What does it say in the book of Zechariah? The Lord is speaking, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that really leads us to one final thought in connection with our text, and it is the way for the Christian to be filled with the Spirit. The way for the Christian to be filled with the Spirit.
Now, whenever a person is saved, that person, whoever they are, wherever they are, men, women, young people, they are born again of the Holy Spirit. They are regenerate of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in their heart. That's the mark of every single Christian. The Bible makes that very clear, for the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But when a person is saved, they're born again. Paul reminded the Corinthians of that. He said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells and resides in the heart of the child of God. That's the mark of every believer. However, if the Christian is to be filled with the Spirit of God, then there'll be certain marks. The Bible sets that before us, certain marks in their life. Certain marks in the life of that Christian. One is the mark of obedience. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's will for their lives. Peter brings that out in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and he says, we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Christians, we must obey the Word of God. We must obey the will of God. As the hymn writer says, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yes, there is obedience. There's also holiness of life. The Lord says to his people, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. And if we are to be filled with his power, then we must live holy lives also. We must turn away from the sinful ways of this world. You turn back to Ephesians chapter number 4 there in the verse number 30. Look at what it says there at the beginning of that verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. That leads us to ask the question, what is it that grieves the Spirit? Sin is the thing that grieves the Holy Spirit. Grieves the Holy Spirit in our lives and robs us of power. And if you look there at Ephesians chapter number 4 in particular, you see there how Paul lists certain sins here before the Ephesian believers that they were to avoid lest they grieve the Spirit of God. In verse 25, he mentions the sin of lying. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. He mentions the sin of uncontrolled anger. Verse 26, he says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In verse 28, he mentions the sin of stealing. He says, let him that stole steal no more. In verse 29, he mentions that the sin of corrupt conversation. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. If you go down to verse number 31, he speaks there about wrong attitudes and unforgiving spirit. He says, verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Then in chapter number 5 and the verse number 3, he warns them against immorality. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints. And brethren and sisters in Christ, if we are to be filled with the Spirit, then sin is something we must turn away from. We must avoid by God's grace. These sins must be repented of, put under the blood. Look at what Paul says there in Ephesians 4, verse 22. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We're to set aside as Christians the old ways of the world, the old ways of that sinful lifestyle. Instead, we're to follow after Christ. We're to follow as believers after the example of Christ. Look at how Paul brings that in at the end of chapter 4, there, verse 32. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Verse 1 of the next chapter. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. He was saying to these believers in Ephesus, don't follow the world, don't follow sin, follow Christ. And that's the Lord's message to you and I today as believers. Look again at verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says at the end of that verse, walk as children of light. And this is how we are to live in this ungodly world as God's people. We're to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the earth. Our lives are to be different from the ungodly. And why this is vital, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is the mark, yes, of obedience, holiness of life. There's also the mark of prayerfulness, of prayer. Turn with me back to Luke chapter number 11. And the beginning of that chapter is all about prayer. And the Lord brings it to a conclusion. He's writing to the believer, to those who are saved. Look at verse number 13. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" That speaks of prayer. It highlights the importance of prayer. And people of God, if you and I are to know personal revival, if we're to see revival in our churches across the land, if we're to see revival and blessing in the nation, there must be prayer. There must be a seeking of God. There can be no substitute for prayer. You read of the early church before the day of Pentecost. It says they were all with one accord in one place. What were they doing? They were praying, seeking God, calling upon God for help and for the outpouring of His Spirit upon them. That's where we need to be as Christians. And Christian, I say to you, guard your time of prayer in your life day by day. Guard the public times of prayer. Let us seek God. Let us cry to God for the outpouring of the Spirit of God with power upon our lives, upon our service for God and all that we would seek to do, so that the Lord Jesus Christ might be honored and glorified in and through our lives, through our service, and through our witness. And if you're not saved today, let me just say in conclusion, to live a life to the glory of God, you must start with salvation. You must be born again. That comes by you confessing your sins to the Lord, trusting in Christ, resting on the blood of Christ alone to cleanse away your sin and save your soul and fit you for heaven. And then by God's grace and power, the Lord will enable you to live for Him and to shine for Him a day by day. We'll close our meeting with a word of prayer. If there's one in the gathering today and you're not saved, come to the Lord. If you'd like to speak to me after the meeting, I'll be no hurry away. I'll be glad to open up the Scriptures with you and point you to the Lord Jesus. But the all-important matter is that you be saved. Then go on to live for the Lord and live for His honor and glory day by day. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here today in Thy house. Bless Thy word and bless Thy truth to our hearts. We thank Thee, O God, for this great blessing that Christ has purchased for us people at the cross. And Lord, as Your people, may we know what it is day by day in our life, in our common round and task, as it were, in home and work, in God's work, and in the society where we live, to be a people who know our God, who will be filled with the Spirit of God in our lives day by day, that by our life and by our witness and by our testimony, Christ would be honored and glorified. For any with us today not saved, speak to them, and may they not leave the meeting without the Lord, without trusting Him, whom to know is life eternal. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies, we pray. Bless the testimony meeting tonight. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all who know and love Thee this day and always. Amen and amen.